Michael Healy-Ray, we've had our disagreements on this programme. I've described you as a national embarrassment over issues.
At the end of this month, Mr. Delaney is to come to Castle Island AFC to open the new George O'Callaghan Park. 45 years they wanted for this park to be there. And what I'm reliably told, that if it wasn't for John Delaney and the FAI, that park wouldn't be being opened at the end of this month. You will be most welcome to Kerry. You will get what I would call the mother of all welcomes when you come to Kerry, because your reputation and your respectability will precede you down the road before you land, and we will be there to welcome you.
A craven leprechaun performance from you today, and I was embarrassed for you that a member of our parliament would be so obsequious to someone who was not answering questions, who was stonewalling and hiding behind his lawyers. Were you not embarrassed with what you had said? You didn't ask one question and you were defending the indefensible.
Welcome to this week's episode of Get Up The Yard. I'm Dunya, MC of Sorting. This week I'm joined by Kenny and Frank. We are going to talk about the FAI. Unless you've been under a rock somewhere, basically the FAI is going through its biggest crisis ever. We're talking criminal prosecutions, we're talking everything. It's a soap opera that just keeps on giving. Saipan is nothing compared to this. Obviously, this stems from the 100 grand loan that Delaney had to give the association. Of course, he was supposed to explain it to Oireachtas. Of course, then he decided he wasn't going to do that, even though they said they would. And they just kept throwing they kept putting up. We're off to a great start this week. I can't say it. But there you go. Just like John Delaney, I have nothing to say. Frank, we're going to start with you. So we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about Oireachtas. We're going to talk about Sunday Times. We're going to talk about, you know, possibility of criminal prosecutions, that sort of stuff. And where we go from there, lads. But Frank, I want to ask you a question. Like myself, I was just following the Oireachtas through work, getting sound bites as it was coming through, and then watched a bit more of it as I got home. Were you really at all surprised by the FAI's actions or non-action?
No, I probably wasn't surprised, to be honest, Donny. They've kind of always been an association, certainly to my memory, that didn't do a whole lot of kind of transparency and explaining their reasons behind certain things and decisions. So I wasn't particularly surprised that they kind of pleaded ignorance on a lot of the questions that were posed to them. I was surprised by how much ignorance they did plead. I mean, they just stonewalled the committee on so many different questions and just refused to answer. And you know, it was a real kick in the teeth. Whatever you think about the committee members, they're public representatives, and they were voted for to represent the public by the public. And the FAI just pretty much gave them the two fingers. And unfortunately, the powers of the Oireachtas couldn't compel them to answer the questions. And they exercised the right not to answer a lot of the questions, and it was just extremely disappointing.
It was actually very cringe. I don't know how you lads felt about it. I thought it was very cringeworthy. I mean, we have a similar process here in the UK where they sit in front of a panel of MPs, but it's quick, it's fast, and you really have to. They've grilled Sir Philip Green, they've grilled Mike Ashley, and it's just very direct. When you go there, you really have to have your stuff together. Otherwise, they will tear you apart, and it's live. It's shown live across on the telly over here. I found that at first, it really was a game of two halves. I thought it was just the first half, to be fair to the committee, the first half was just very, we're not going to play ball. We're here to talk about 100 grand, but we're actually not going to talk about it because I have a note from a mammy. That was basically from John Delaney. And I really felt bad for them. But then apparently I've been watching off the ball and stuff. They asked some of the journalists that were there, he said, "How are we doing, lads?" And they were like, not very well, you know. why don't you start treating them like they're treating you? And I know the second half, they came out a hell of a lot more rigorous and aggressive. And it became pantomime, you know. I'm sure, like, looking at Michael Healy-Ray, who's not even part of the committee, just sat there for 3 minutes, sat there all day, and for 3 minutes just lauded John Delaney, absolutely just all over him, fawning all over him over some field that was open in his honour down in Kerry that took 48 years or something to open, you know, and he's supposed to be asking questions, which I thought was a total embarrassment. At your expense as well, Frank, and Kenny's, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, obviously there was a kind of referendum, I think, a couple of years ago in relation to how much power the Irish people want Oireachtas types of committees to have. So, you know, there was obviously an expectation going in that the powers that they have were limited. But, you know, it was even the limited powers that allowed them to ask certain questions, the fact that they were even pushed back was just extremely disappointing.
I mean, did you see that with Robert Troy, the Mullingar TD, and he was asking a question about Bray Wanderers that almost went to the wall. And he turned around and says, I want to ask John Delaney this. And Conway, the president, was like, no, you can't, you don't ask him, leave him alone, you know? I was just, and then it was like,
it was lovely, wasn't it? It was like, you know, it was like questions were being asked, and it was like, all right, I'm looking directly at you, John. I'm going to ask you a question. John, would you like to have lunch? And the people beside John were like, John, you don't have to answer that if you don't want to now. And the people on the committee chairman was like, I'm not sure if John can answer if he wants lunch or if he doesn't want lunch. Let's have a check. And then John would go, well, no, as you rightly put it, Dunny, it's here's me now from my mammy. I don't have to answer. Do I want lunch? But actually, the one thing that he did say is he wanted a comfort break. Which was one good input from John. Wanted to have a break from all the questions he wasn't answering.
Well, it's very tiring sitting there in silence, Kenny, you know? Yeah, I thought it was very farcical. It was very clunky, you know? You want it like a courtroom setting with these bastards, you know, like you want them in there, you want them getting absolutely grilled, you know, no time, just really hammering them down. I thought it's John O'Brien, is it the Cork lad from Sinn Féin? Is it John O'Brien?
O'Brien, anyway.
Yeah, he was asking it. They showed an edited version of it on News Talk, and he was trying to ask them about like the different bank accounts. Which, of course, they have 24, by the way. Not that the the honorary treasurer of the FAI would know that, because he thought they only had one. But yeah, they've 24. And he was trying to ask questions about prize money, because he was on the board at Cork City. And he actually knew how this worked. So, he you know, I could see what he was trying to do. But apparently, it took him nearly 12 minutes to ask the question. You know, do you have a separate account that this money goes in for prize money? Basically, I think he's trying to get to, and this is just my opinion, he's trying to see if there's any misappropriation of funds. You know, are you using prize money that's, and this is just my opinion, are you using prize money that's set aside for Dundalk, which you've actually delayed on, because you're using that to fund something else, even though you're not supposed to touch that, you're holding that for Dundalk for when, if and when they want it. And they just kept batting him away and batting him away. And then the chair kept coming in, and he really annoyed me. He just slowed it down. You know, when he was getting a bit of momentum, like he'd come in and he would just sort of mess it up. I don't know what you lads thought about that.
Yeah, he was coming in and he was like, look, John actually has a note from his mammy. So maybe don't ask that.
Yeah,
it was a real mockery. The FAI just showed an absolute two fingers to the public, as you said, mockery of the process. Didn't give a chance to put their own side of things, and I mean, really showed that their trump card is: we're going to hide behind everything. We're going to try and block the people out as much as possible. generally that would mean you're hiding, trying to hide something, you know. If there was nothing going wrong, then you're going to be up front, you're going to be honest, you're going to show a few things. So I mean, without judging everything just based on that, but it was a real sense of, if you're going to get us, then you're going to have to come fighting, you're going to have to fight us in a different way, you know.
Oh, and we'll get into that in a second. They certainly did. I mean, that was the thing. I mean, like, what are you hiding now, lads? Like, this isn't just about 100,000 euros. This isn't just a little bit of, you know, something went wrong there. There was a mistake we dealt with. It was an eternal matter. And John the Baptist, as the Independent called him when he made a documentary about him a few years ago, John Delaney comes in. Oh, don't worry, lads. 100 grand loan. Pay it back to me wherever you need it. You know, it wasn't quite as simple as that. As we discovered in the Sunday Times, of course, Mark Tighe, he's the guy that has broken all of this. And I was listening to a very interesting podcast with himself and Eamon Dunphy and Kieran Cunningham with The Star. Very interesting on the stand. Have a listen to it, lads, if you haven't. And anyone listening to this, it was absolutely fascinating. They were talking about Dunphy started to mention how the FAI used to threaten. RTE used to get threats, not threats, but they, I suppose threats is too harsh a word. They would, you know, they wish to show the dissatisfaction with the analysis coming from Dunphy and Co on the panel. And apparently they'd be threatening letters. They were trying to get certain RTE reporters sacked from their post and all this kind of stuff. Really, you know, shows a horrible side of the FAI. And Mark Tighe, who broke this and was taken to the High Court by Dunphy. Mark Tighe, he broke all this, and he was actually taken to the High Court by John Delaney, which was paid out of his own pocket. And of course, the hits kept coming on Sunday. There was, you know, Football in Crisis was the name of it. Apparently, John Delaney racked up 40 grand worth of spending on his credit card in just 6 months. Now, they only got a snapshot of 6 months. That's all they got. So we don't know what else has gone on there. And apparently, like, he spent stuff like he took 6 grand, where he took loads of cash out, loads of cash withdrawals, which I know is a major no-no on a card. It was like a 70 euro bill, a Kingfisher chipper, which, to be fair, is not too bad, because that could have been for lunch or something, for a late lunch, that sort of stuff. So that does happen. There was all sorts of stuff, like he spent 119 euros on footwear. And he was spending loads of money on ties and stuff, which sort of, I remember Charles Haughey, that he spent thousands of pounds on ties. And he actually went into Michael Healy Ray's garage, didn't he? In the Topaz, and he withdrew 200 and 150 euros on the card. He also stayed in the Ritz-Carlton in Dubai, and that was a 4,000 euro bill in 2016. And yeah, just all sorts of there. It's out there. I strongly recommend you read it. What did you make of that, Kenny? Like the bill that came out.
Yeah, look, you know, not to go into too much detail on myself, but you know, from a company credit card standpoint, yeah. And any company withdrawing cash on the company credit card is a massive no-no. Exceptional circumstances for an event where you're going to have a receipt and follow through the proper processes of, yeah, these lads wouldn't take cards, so I had to pay them cash type of thing, you know?
And you would
go through rigorous checks, you know? But
yeah.
Clearly, the amount of cash transactions, really, that was the one that opened the eye to me. He's going,
yeah,
hang on a second here. This fella's just using this as his own credit card. Look, you know, he's going to go, look, I'll take a few quid out here, a few quid out there. Some of the transactions themselves individually could possibly be explained. And like at this stage, he's not been given he's been given the chance, but he doesn't want to.
But he hasn't taken it.
These transactions. Hiding behind them like that just really stinks of, oh, look, I'm in over my head here. I'll voluntarily resign and step forward. I know I'm probably skipping ahead here, but I think, you know, he's trying to play it as if he's done nothing wrong in some way, and that's talking about it in public is just going to roil the public up, but I haven't actually done anything wrong type of thing. But reading through those things, and no wonder Michael Healy-Ray tried to have sex with him live on TV. first few minutes. I mean, it was disgraceful stuff. How good John Delaney is. He's the best man in the world.
You'll get John them all welcomes.
You know, nearly as far as to say, you know, John Delaney, he'd do anything for you, and he loves football, and he's out there training kids morning, noon, and night, and he's paying for all them. Yeah, well, spend the money in your garage, you know. I don't know where that money he withdrew went, you know, but it was awful stuff. I thought.
Did you see the whole thing?
The FAI was going down such a bad, getting so much bad press. And then he went ahead and done that as well, and he just fell. And not that he had a high rating in my eyes, but he fell even further there. And no, it's not called for. Real approach from him, Michael Healy-Ray in particular, and then from a lot of others leading up to all the allegations coming out of this. John Delaney, he's a great man. He's done X good thing. So, because he's done X good thing, let's forget about these possible bad things that he's done, because John Delaney has done this instead, you know, calling out some of his good work. It's a way of saying...
Is that not an Irish thing, though? Like, I mean...
This is worldwide in politics as well. This is a massive national thing of the bad guy. If he does good things, we'll try and treat him as a bad guy. So I've always said it, look, good people do bad things and bad people do good things. But what sets aside in the public eye a lot of the time is somebody who's out there probably doing bad things a lot tries to highlight and put the glare on all the good things that they're doing to go, here, I'm a great bloke. Oh, look at all these good things I've done. Staying for fans for a long time and saying, oh, well, here, look, I bought you a round of drinks, do you know?
My brother explained the situation to me in a very good way. He's like a fella that has a massive bag of gold in his hands, bag of coins in his hands, and he goes up to a guy and said, look, you know, you're doing a great job there. He puts his hand in, he puts a coin into the lad's hand, and that lad's like, oh, John, you're a terrific lad. Yeah, you know, now don't you forget that. Now don't you forget that little coin of gold I gave you, and he walks off in a massive bag of coin. That seems to be the situation. Frank, you've been very quiet on this. Have they got to you as well, have they?
No. Just listening to you guys chat about it, but I suppose from the credit card's point of view, similar to Kenny, I would agree that outside of the cash withdrawals, there's probably a lot of it that could be explained away.
Yeah. But he had the opportunity to explain it, didn't he? And he chose to sit with his note from his mammy and say, no, I'm not going to say a word.
Well, I don't think the credit card stuff came out until afterwards, didn't it?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm sure he could say, look, it's part of my package. But what it does show, and whether this is about Delaney or whether this is a bigger thing, is that an absolute disjoint and a poorly run association. We had the treasurer not known, assuming that they had one bank account. Now, I'm not a huge footballing association, but I have more than one bank account, and I'm a person, you know, so to assume that a huge association with 50 million turnover would have only one bank account was unbelievable. Then you had,
and Frank might be in front of the Oireachtas next with his multiple bank accounts.
Well, like most people I know have multiple bank, have more than one bank account, you know.
And this fucker tried to get like 20 quid back off me on an Oyster card, Kenny, and he's got more than one bank account. Sorry, yeah. Frank. Sorry, didn't mean.
That was a kind of really poor, and then obviously you had an association that, you know, if you believe the reasons offered by the FAI and John Delaney, was literally, despite having a 50 million turnover, down to its last 100,000, whereby if a certain amount of transaction went through, it wouldn't have had any, you know, liquid funds. But yet the CEO was out spending huge amounts on a credit card. Now, obviously, John Delaney can say, look,
you paid it back.
I wasn't aware that the association was in trouble. That's the finance department. But it just shows an absolute poorly run association. Whether there was anything beyond just absolute negligence, that will have to be explored. But it's just, you know, it just really showed the association in such a poor light. And, you know, it's they've had a chance to kind of come out and say, you know what, we hold our hands up. There's a lot gone on here that's wrong, and we need to step down. But they've had to be dragged down, which is really, again, worrying. Wait, and it just goes to show why people shouldn't be able, like, you know, that presidential terms and CEO terms, particularly of a national organization, should have a set period. Because if you leave someone there too long, they just become so reluctant to let go of power. They just become so powerful within the organization. It's really disheartening and worrying.
I was just can I ask you lads a question? I mean, in a little bit of studying for this, you know, I've been looking at videos and stuff of John Delaney and some quality montages of him, like where he's in a bar and he's like, get up to that fucking bar now, get yourself a free drink. Now he's going, yay! And then you see him in Moscow with Ray Houghton singing in a bar, and they're all loving him. And Slovakia, Frank, do you remember when we were with the official FAI travel party? Sorry, that sounds a lot more grand than it was. We were like the away supporters.
We went for Abbey Travel, yeah.
Yeah, we went with Abbey Travel. Well, I didn't want to mention it, but you have. So, but yeah, we went with them, and we were going down on the coach. We had a wild night. Do you remember the night beforehand? Don't remember too much of it, but we won't. Anyway, and we were traveling on the coach down, and we almost had a fight on the bus because the guy wouldn't. It was a 3-hour journey to Žilina. The guy wouldn't stop at a service. I think he stopped like 15 minutes outside the ground, and it was really bad. And we were getting updates from a friend of ours and a friend of the podcast, and his cousin, who's Dutch actually, which is a strange one, was sending updates. He was on the trains that were put on by the FAI, and John Delaney was going around up and down handing out cans, and they were singing a song, you know, oh, John Delaney used to be a wanker, but he's all right now. So, I mean, when you have stuff like that, and he, you know, and then he had the game in Estonia when we won 4-0 away, and you know, that basically sealed qualification for that championship that all that was part of, Moscow and Žilina, you know, and he goes over to the crowd and he throws his tie in. They all love it. You know, there's somebody, I mean, some of the Irish fans here, you know, have kind of played into this, have played into this sort of godlike figure of Irish football a bit, or am I being a bit harsh there?
I think like anyone, everyone just loves a good story, or, you know, loves to be seen with a famous person, and you know, will you know, really kind of like they'll party with this person even if they don't like them, you know, just to saying, oh, I was there with them, like
free gargle going as well.
Yeah, but like, you know, you've like it's happened a lot of times, you know, you've seen it with Mike Ashley, you know, when he used to go away with the away fans, and you know, he'd be necking booze with them, and oh, they all loved it. You know, but like, you can't blame the fans for that. Like, at the end of the day, the fans.
Well, I'll tell you what, now, you were fuming on that coach. You were going mad on that coach, you were.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, we went away with the official travel partner of the FAI, I think it was at the time. We probably, you know, I suppose when we found out the match had been moved, maybe we.
That was inside, you know, the deadline as well, the 90-day deadline. That happened, you remember?
Yeah, maybe we expected, you know, to be bought a beer, but like that's just, you know, a personal gripe. Like, you know, that was something sinister in that, like, you know, or anything like that. But that obviously it was a bit annoying that people who'd kind of made their own way and whatever and didn't go with the official travel partner were probably, you know, looked after more from on that train. And we were, you know, we fucking, I don't even know if they had a toilet on the coach.
They didn't. That's why we almost had a brawl on the coach. I remember that. No, like,
I mean, that'll happen. Like, you know, John Delaney was almost a celebrity type CEO. And when it goes well, you know, that then great, take the applaud, get carried off the trains. But when it doesn't go well, you know, you should stand up and be counted as well. And I think that's the big problem people have here is that, you know, where is he now? You know, why isn't he out with the masses now? Why isn't he mixing in with his supporters now? So I think that's the problem people have.
I listen, I mean, it's not just the fans. as I said, the Irish Independent. I like the Irish Independent. I actually buy it when I see it, when there's something good on. I'll try and buy it over here in England, and I read them all the time. They had a documentary, John the Baptist, which is actually quite, it's an eye-opener. You know, they bought into it. You had Eamon Dunphy, who was at his 50th birthday party. He was at John Lennon's 50th birthday party, and he even had an Aviva cake. Lads, I showed you the picture, and it's like a cardboard cutout of John Delaney in an Ireland jersey wearing number 50, and Johnny Giles as well, the foundation. So a lot of people were seduced by this guy, and of course Healy Ray. I don't know if you saw Kenny Healy Ray on the Ivan Yates program. I thought that was hilarious when he bangs the table and he starts going, it's a cardinal, a leprechaun thing to do. I thought it was amazing. Although it didn't quite get to the matter, it has been absolutely this Saipan and 2002 has nothing on this. And speaking of which, actually, the FEI, Sport Ireland appeared before the Oireachtas Again committee in committee room 4 yesterday, and basically, there's so much to go through, but the extremely abridged version is that the FEI gave Sport Ireland a letter late again to say that the board was stepping down. John Delaney had stepped aside, so he's not falling on a sword, he is on gardening leave, and apparently the money had completely gone in the association, and that's why he had to make a hundred grand donate, well, loan, interest free. Just a little bit more as well, lads, and then we'll discuss it. Looking here at the Independent, the front page, I mean, we're talking about a threat of potential prosecution. Obviously, the board has stepped down, but Delaney's still on the payroll. Lots of people have hinted at maybe he's looking for a payout. Wouldn't surprise me. And actually, the auditors, Deloitte, reported the company for failing to keep proper accounting records, which is potentially a criminal offence. The FEI hired them to give them an audit, and they've actually had to actually report them, and I think it's absolutely just amazing. They informed the authorities that soccer's government body had failed to keep proper accounting records. This move raised the prospect that directors or former directors could face prosecution over how the association was run. Now, lads, this is Ireland. These are wealthy, powerful people. They're not going to go to jail for this, are they? If there's anything criminal found, they're not going to go to jail. It's not going to happen.
It's highly unlikely that they would go to jail. Yeah. In general terms, it's a possibility there, but it's yeah. Let's just say it's highly unlikely. The accountability here looks to be one where they'd have some sort of slap on the wrist if we were to go further with them from the report that Deloitte have done. I think John Delaney played his Hail Mary move and pass and said, the shit is going to hit the fan here soon. Do you know what I'll do? I'll move myself. I won't be the CEO anymore. I'll move myself into a nice little position. I'll try and play my mammy's going to write me a letter to say, you can't talk to me about my CEO days. I'm now executive vice president or whatever title he's given himself. to sidestep all of the issues, to go, all right, Delaney's moving on, let's focus on, there's going to be a new person in, it's going to be a change and stuff. And that pass, that play, that Hail Mary play didn't work from him.
No.
But now he's still holding on there, clinging on. He's probably got voice. He's got a lot of legal advice, I presume. So he's kind of saying, well, look, you know, actually, what can they prove fully here? How much longer can I get away with it? And all I'll do is I'll step aside and say, go on, have a look, do all your reviews, because God knows who's reviewing the FAI at the minute. I think there's 5 separate investigations going on. So, it's going to be reviews and people auditing, and it just smacks to me like this is going to go on for quite a while before
the board said they're going to step down in July. Now Ruth Coppinger, who's the one that called Michael Healy Ray an embarrassment, so already she is up in my books, last week she wanted the board to step down. Now she wanted the minister of sport and tourism Shane Ross to actually ask for them to resign, but they were saying, no, we'll end up in the High Court if we do that, which is fair enough, because I know you can't really, you can't ask. There can be no political involvement in the Football Association of Ireland. But she wants them to go before July, but they said, no, July is when we're going to step down. I mean, I think a lot of the commentary in the papers and the media is, and actually, surprisingly enough, not a lot of ex-players have come out about this. We had Stephen Hunt trying to defend them, and which I thought was ludicrous. Stephen Kelly today was on News Talk, and he was talking a bit more about, you know, John Delaney didn't invent the FAI, maybe, and all this kind of stuff. But to me, it feels like this is going to be real change. This is the kick up the arse. Now, whether those that deserve to be punished will get the appropriate punishment, I don't know. But I do think that this is the dawn of a new era, that it won't go back to the old ways. What do you lads think about that?
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a change. We've got what we need, and we're starting to see the change. We've got to make sure that the change is big enough. And I think we need people on top of it, championing the cause and making sure that there's real change. Somebody to come in and freshen things up and do it right. And
do you think they should change
from top to bottom correctly?
They should change the name, Kenny? Niall Quinn was having a meeting with
disappointed. I was disappointed with Niall coming out and saying that. I mean, that is just, it's the worst, like, it's one of the worst plays that companies use. They go, geez, we've got such a bad name. Let's try and say, here, we're a brand new company and here's our new name, you know.
Yeah.
We're no longer X company. We're now Y company and we're amazing.
And you look
behind the curtain and go, Jesus, well, you're more or less the exact same people. So don't think you're a shiny brand new company, you know. I think that's a stupid comment really to make. I mean, it's the Football Association of Ireland.
I don't like
it's
it.
It's a big establishment.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it's Irish football. Changing the name is just a stupid ploy. And Niall Quinn went down in my book a little bit there when he said that, you know. I think it could be somebody that could be involved, could really help the next stage of the FAI. But comments like that aren't going to help you.
No. Frank, what would you say in that? Would you agree with Niall Quinn that he should change the brand because it's been damaged? Although given the history of the FAI and anyone that knows the history with the IFA and FAI and what the FAI had to go, which is so sad actually, what the FAI had to go through to become established. If you want to see the history of that, watch Green is the Colour of the DVD. Really amazing history when you see the shambles that they are now. But sorry, do you think they should change the brand? And do you think Niall Quinn, like Kenny has said, could help football in this country in some way?
No, I don't see the point in changing the brand. You know, the issue is with the people, and the issue is with the procedures, the issue is with the transparency. There are things that are a lot easier to change, and that should be the focus of change, as opposed to moving letters around. That's just doing something for the sake of doing it. If you really want to change, then it's about the people. It's about how they conduct themselves. It's about being open and transparent, and moving forward with, you know, a much more balanced board than what it would seem to have, where, you know, 1 to 3 people seem to have kind of an unbelievable amount of say in it. You know, we also then need to look at, you know, a maximum time in charge. Of course, the counter to that is, well, if someone's doing a good job, why do you want to get rid of them? But, you know, new people bring new ideas. Go on.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a 3 to 5 year sweet spot, isn't there, with a CEO. We were talking about the other day, like this idea that you could be a CEO for 14 years is ridiculous. I totally agree with that. Just to wrap up, where do we go from here? I mean, who would you like, Brian, I'm going to ask you, who would you like to see get the CEO? Is there anyone in particular that you have in mind that you'd like to see the CEO? Quinner? Would you like to see Quinner?
I think I like Niall Quinn, and he's obviously he has a knowledge of football and the business side of football. Does it have to be a football person? I'm not so sure. Like, you know, when you look at when you look at the English FA, you look at people like David Gill, you look at people like David Dean at Arsenal, who weren't football men as such, but were really good at running the football side of a business. There must be people out there in Ireland that we can look at from a business standpoint. And maybe it's in, and you get someone like Niall Quinn in with them. People like maybe Richie Sadlier, who's particularly good. He seems to be particularly good on the kind of PR side of things. He's done a lot of work with mental health and things like that.
Yeah.
The one thing we can't do is rush it and make it kind of populist decision. We need to get the next appointment will be the most important one in Irish football in history. And it has to be right. So the board will step down in July. The other thing is, who's going to be recruiting them? And how does that process work?
Would you feel confident with the FAI, the current board, picking their successors? I think that's what a lot of the TDs and members of the committee were very worried about. Is like, well, if we're already after showing how useless these guys are we really going to trust these guys to pick their successors? I don't think that was said very well.
No, I mean, God almighty, these guys are they're part of the board. They have to take full ownership of this, whether it's Shane Ross, whether it's at government level, that I know there can't be too much interference, but it just really needs a massive shakedown and a kind of do over. But there has to be good people in the association, good people in the League of Ireland. You know, people like Brian Kerr. I know it didn't work particularly well with Trapattoni, but maybe if Niall Quinn's not involved in being on the board, maybe he's involved in the recruitment process. You know, so we need to get the right people into a room and kind of trash this out, figure out how we're going to do it.
I would like to see Quinn involved. I don't know about CEO. I don't think he wants it. Kenny, tell us what you think about this one. But I think I'd like to see Quinn involved, maybe with the League of Ireland. He seems to have a good plan there. And the FAI are still in charge of the League of Ireland. God help them. Sadlier, Kerr, people like that. You know, you need to have football people. But Kenny, look, you work for, American conglomerate. It was a bit embarrassing for me, I must say. Thank God it's not much of interest in our
It's embarrassing football. That I work for a club glomerate, yeah? All right.
Well,
I just don't think it's done. It's as simple as putting a new figurehead in there and a new CEO, and he's going to be all singing and dancing and a shiny new man. I think it's structural change that's needed. It's a change that one man isn't running the show. It has to be done because although you can be quicker with your decision making when you have one man, you can be quicker to do the wrong thing as well. So I think it needs to be a proper board run company and organisation, more than a company, sorry, but it's a board run organisation, and it needs to be decisions being made that's agreeable by all, and we have to have different viewpoints there working together, so I think a mixture of football people and people from the outside of football, even learning structurally from, we've got really successful sporting structure at the moment in the IRFU, and the IRFU has gone on from strength to strength, so the Rugby Association for people. So they've gone from strength to strength. Rugby was seen as a sport which had very little involvement in, other than prestige schools and working class in some areas down the country from the early 90s. It's absolutely taken on and blown up and become a professional setup.
So absolutely. And look at them. I mean,
we could learn from their CEO. I mean, their CEO from you know, with a knowledge of rugby myself, their CEO was a fella called Philip Brown. You wouldn't walk, you wouldn't recognise him walking down the street.
Didn't you know his name until two seconds ago?
He doesn't want to be seen as the man that's up at the bar buying drinks and, hey everybody, I'm great and I'm the CEO of the RFU. You know, he does his job quietly, doesn't attract media attention, gets things done. We shouldn't know who is the chairman of the board, who's the CEO. The organisation should be run seamlessly that we don't care who the CEO is because things are being done right. They don't get media spotlight and attention. We need to get to a stage where we have a controlled board making decisions, and that's where doing things in the interest of Irish football. The absolute jokes that are happening, you know, prize money that's been brought up there, prize money not being paid on time, not being given out, a league being run for less than the CEO's salary.
Prize money halved.
Let's share this money between a club of people that's been run as a club. This is the competition they're running. There's 11 players. There's probably 25 players altogether. You know, there's all the fans. There's the structure of that football club. They're all vying for a prize that's less than one man's salary running the whole organisation. Like, it doesn't make sense. So things like that, we need proper change. And the answer to your question on, you know, what's next or who should be involved has to be a mixture of people involved in the board.
Yeah, we need football people, definitely. I mean, my point, you know, and we're going to finish up here now in a second. I mean, my point is that when I'm saying that you work for a conglomerate, I mean, look, Facebook do their business in Europe here. eBay, Google do their business in Europe here. The RFU is a huge success. The GAA is a huge success. Horse Racing Ireland is a phenomenal success and other stuff. People in Ireland, as I said, I was a bit embarrassed because people are probably thinking, oh my God, is this how businesses are run in Ireland? No, it's not. There are really, really talented people in this country. Some are not in Ireland. Some are abroad. Willie Walsh, BA, Qantas as well. The CEO there is, I'm probably getting the names mixed up, but the Qantas CEO is an Irishman as well, or was an Irishman. So, you know, there's talent out there. So, you know, it's there. We can do it. It's just, obviously, it's 2019. It's not in the 90s. It's not the 80s. And the FAI really just need to get with it. And it's absolutely disgraceful that people have lost jobs, were laid off, had 10, 15% wage cuts on their wages. Those that were lucky to keep the jobs at the FAI with us. Well, Delaney was going around doing what he was doing. Hopefully, he has stepped aside. Hopefully, he'll do the right thing. Whether he's found innocent or not, I think, obviously, he just has to do the decent thing and just go. If he cares about football, as he says he does, he would have gone on his sword a long time ago. Sitting there, having banners against him, Delaney out, songs being sung about him, the whole lot. How the man just sits there and goes through, I couldn't. If one person thinks I'm an arsehole, I feel terrible and it'll bother me for days. This guy can just sit there, not a bother to him. It's absolutely incredible, this man is. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this week. We're going to wrap it up there. And there's going to be more to this. We're going to be talking more and more through this. We might even get a comment from Luxie as well about his Uncle John, but I wouldn't... hold my breath on that one, lads. Take it easy. Good night.
Get up the yard.